Hi, welcome to the FinTech Newscast. This is Steve, and today I'm joined by Sean. Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Hey, Steve, how's it going?
All right. And today we have a really interesting chat with Pankaj Bilani, the CEO of Delta Exchange, where you can do things like futures, options, swaps, robo-trading, and so much more with cryptocurrency. So stay tuned.
Hi guys, thanks for having me. Nice to be here, Steve. Nice to be here, Sean. Thanks, Punch. Let's get started.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming. I love the enthusiasm. So Pankaj, tell us what do you do at Delta Exchange?
So we are a derivatives exchange. We do futures and options on Bitcoin. We do futures and options on a bunch of other cryptocurrencies. If you have to trade options on anything beyond Bitcoin and Ether, you will probably have to come to Delta to do that.
So very interesting. But let's actually start with the basics. What's an option?
So an option is basically it's a right, but not to obligation to own something or to sell something. Okay. Now, when you buy a stock, you are married to the upside and the downside both in the stock, right? Or similarly, when you buy a coin, if the coin goes up, your portfolio value goes up. When the coin goes down, your portfolio value goes down. Similarly, a futures contract. When the future contract on Bitcoin goes up, your portfolio value goes up. When it goes down, your portfolio value goes down. Now, option allows you to build a profile which is skewed on one side. So when Bitcoin goes up, and if you own a call option, your portfolio value, not only will it go up, but it can go up exponentially and non-linearly, right? Whereas when Bitcoin goes down, it will not go down, right? So this is what an option does. It helps you break down the profile. It helps you achieve non-linearity, and it helps you achieve exposure which is on one side. Now the question is, why would people want that, right? It's good to have for speculators, but then what's the other side? Because any trade on the derivative side can be thought of as a trade between a speculator and a hedger. Somebody is doing it to speculate, somebody else is doing it from a need point of view, right? Let's say you are a big portfolio manager, right? Let's say you are a mutual fund or a fund in crypto. Let's not call it mutual fund because we don't have mutual funds in crypto yet. But yeah, let's say we have a fund in crypto. Now you're managing significant portfolio, and let's say you're managing it for clients, right? Now you want to look at performance every 3 months. And if Bitcoin goes up 20-30% or other crypto assets go up 40-50-60%, you cannot take that kind of drawdown on your portfolio. Because you're managing money professionally, you want to have limited volatility and you want to have limited drawdown. Drawdown is how much does your portfolio go down, right? Because capital preservation is one of the most important things that a portfolio manager needs to worry about.
Of course.
So in that case, what they do is go and buy protection. They go and buy protection against the downside in market. And that's what a put option is. It helps you protect against the downside. That if the market goes up, then you enjoy the upside. But if the market goes down, then you have an insurance, right? That kicks in and it helps you cover the losses that you've made when the market went down. Now, actually, we all use options in our real life without, sometimes knowing. So anytime you buy an insurance, you're buying a put option. So every one of us who has a life insurance essentially has a put option on ourselves. That, if we are alive and hope so, and we do well, then that upside kicks in. And if things go wrong, then there is money that kicks in that helps take care of our obligations, right? So a life insurance is a put option on yourself. A car insurance is a put option against any accident that your car might be in. And similarly, a put option on Bitcoin is basically an insurance on Bitcoin price going down. And put option on a basket of these currencies will help you protect your exposure to a bunch of these currencies. So yeah, that's what an option is. In fact, the first derivative trade in the world was an options trade back in 1400s in Italy. So
in 1400s, wow.
Yeah. These things are quite old, the way... These are things that are used by merchants, right? Merchants come, essentially all trading started by merchants and their needs. to protect themselves against a certain kind of risk. And if you think about it, if you think about their names as well, call option and a put option, right? I can put something on the table. I have the right to sell something at a price which is higher than the current market price, right? Only then will I have the protection, right? So if Bitcoin goes to 30,000 and you have a put to sell Bitcoin at 50,000, you will be able to sell it at 50 and register an immediate profit of 20,000 because market price is 30, right? So you're able to put Bitcoin on the table to the counterparty at 50,000. And similarly, a call option, you're able to call something towards yourself at a cheaper price than what it is in market.
So these aren't exactly new financial instruments. What is the benefit of doing this on a cryptocurrency as opposed to, say, the equities market?
Okay. So when you trade in derivatives, you enjoy leverage, right? Now, that's the upside for a speculator because they can lever their position up and they can, get much more bang for their buck. So it's a product that gives you leverage. It's a product that gives you, that's protected from liquidation. And it's a product that gives you non-linearity, right? So let's say you are a trader and you think that Bitcoin price can go up to 100,000 by the end of this year, right? But you don't want to stake out a long futures position because that's going to take too much margin. At the same time, it is going to, if during this time, market can go up and down many times. So what you can do is buy a call option, right? You are exposed to the upside of Bitcoin going to 100,000 and the price of option will keep increasing as it approaches 100,000. And you have a time to expiry, which is, let's say, December, and you pay a premium for it. So that's the upside for you. And the more Bitcoin reaches 100,000, the more fast, your value of option increases. So that's the trade for the speculator. Now, every trade, like I said, needs to have two parties. One is the want. Speculator is a want thing, right? It's not a necessity. Somebody needs to have the need. So let's analyze the need part then that's a hedger who has the need to protect their portfolio. So we already spoke that in a put option, right? A portfolio manager looking to buy a put is basically doing it from a need. He needs to or she needs to protect their portfolio from prices of cryptocurrencies falling, right? So they have a need to buy a put option. A speculator has a want to buy a call option. And essentially, call and put option are just two broken down profiles of a futures product. So that allow arbitragers to basically arbitrage between price of call, put, and the future. So somebody wants the upside, somebody else wants the downside, and that's how the market organizes itself.
So when you were thinking about creating this product, what was the demand for derivatives product in crypto? We'd love to hear about the background of the rationale around creating the product from the ground up.
So these are products that have existed for a long time. These are not new products. What is new is bringing these products to crypto markets now and fine-tuning these products for the needs of crypto market, right? So what kind of maturities will work? What kind of strikes will work? What kind of other fine-tuning you need to do or other structuring you need to do to the product? That you need to see. The question then is, why will an asset class need a derivatives, product on top of that? In reality, for an asset class to grow, it needs to have a lot of participants. It needs to have professional money managers come in. It needs to have a widespread distribution. It needs to have a bunch of, stakeholders sticking to an asset class. And we've seen that for Bitcoin, right? Earlier, it was mainly retail. Now we are seeing corporate treasuries move in. We have a demand for ETF. We have some ETFs. And now there's more and more inclination for funds to come in, right? Mm-hmm. Now, let's take the example of treasuries. Right now, everything is good. People have $1 billion of Bitcoin on their portfolio. Now, when the prices start to fall, there'll be shareholders of, for example, Tesla or other companies will tell the CEOs to basically do something about this, to protect this value, right? So you invested $1.5 billion, let's say it goes to $3-4 billion. Now you want to protect this value because markets have nature of going up and down. if they can go 40, 50, 200% up, they will also come down 180 and, you know, 80, 60, 70%. And this happens in all markets. It happens in equities. It happens in commodities. It will happen in crypto. It has happened in crypto, right? So markets will have a cycle. They will go up and they will go down. And in that cycle, you have to kind of, you know, when the cycle is against you, you have to protect your portfolio. So any, as number of people increase in an asset class, the need for these products increases. There is more demand for people to for products that they can use to hedge themselves. And like I was saying earlier, you know, any professional money manager who's managing money for a client and not for themselves will be responsible for how much did the portfolio go down and how much did they outperform. And for protection of their capital, they will need, you know, instruments like futures and instruments like put options. Imagine a money manager going to a, you know, someone has, who has given them 100 million and telling them that, look, I lost 40 million in market volatility. I mean, that's not very reassuring, right?
Right,
so,
right.
Mm-hmm. So yes, I took your money from 50 to 100, but now we are 60 and we have lost 40. And, you know, but, you know, blue sky is going forward. Let's wait for 6 more months. Now, right now, I've lost 40 million and yeah, 6 months is still far away. So to avoid these kind of situations, people buy derivatives. So derivatives are inevitable. In fact, the fact that you have derivatives means that you have instruments available for these players to come in and then be comfortable that they can trade in these markets, right? So if a fund manager is sure that there's a good derivatives market that they can hedge their portfolio, they are comfortable going out and raising big money because they know that there are instruments available that they can use to protect their downside.
That makes total sense. It's basically about bringing a higher level of sophistication to the market, right? What is your sense on Bitcoin? Are you fairly bullish on it? Do you have a price estimate for, say, the next year or so? What's your thesis on that?
It's more driven from what our clients are doing and from talking to our clients. And we feel that the market is quite bullish. From what we have spoken to our clients, we feel that there's a lot, you know, people are quite convinced that this rally will at least pull till the end of this year.
One question. So I was looking at some of the really interesting products you have on your platform, Pankaj. One of them is the 100x leverage BTC USD perpetual contract. So I recall hearing a lot of news about what that could mean for people who don't know what they're doing if they're trading on 100x leverage. Could you go through just a very basic example? So like, let's say I have, you know, I want to invest $1,000 in the 100x leverage product. Could you quickly just walk us, our audience, through what does that mean? Like, let's say if I do well in this trade, do I make 100x profit on my $1,000? And if I lose, do I owe 100x on that? Would love to hear just high level for our audience who doesn't do much, well, you know, who wants to learn about this stuff and probably doesn't do much options trading, especially for crypto. What does that look like with in that scenario?
Sure. So futures are typically quoted as a fixed leverage products. Options are usually not quoted as a fixed leverage products. So when we are talking about 100x or a 10x or a 3x, 5x, we are talking about a futures product, right? Now, there is a product which is BTC USD perpetual swap. It's a 100x leverage product, which means that you can take up to 100x. You don't have to, and not a lot of people end up taking that. In fact, probably very few people end up taking that. And it's something that you should be really careful about. But let me explain how it works. So the idea is generally how leverage works, right? Think of leverage as borrowing money and trading with it, right? Now, if you are at 100x, that means that on something, and let's say you've gone long 100x on Bitcoin, which means you've purchased 100x on Bitcoin, right? What that means is you have to put 1 by 100 of the funds, and 99 by 100 is put by someone else, which is, think of it as a loan that you have. In this case, whatever profits you have are yours, and whatever losses you have are yours on the entire 100, not on the 1 by 100 that you have put, but on the entire 100, right? So let's say Bitcoin is at 50,000, a 100x futures product will ask you to put, say, 1%, which is $500. and you can get exposure to one Bitcoin, and 49,500 is being put as by system. All the gain is yours, right? So if there's a 1% move in Bitcoin, which means there's a $500 move in Bitcoin, then you get that entire 500, right? So your investment was 500 and you got 500. But it also cuts on both sides. If Bitcoin moves down 1%, which means that Bitcoin goes to 49,500, there's a $500 loss, and all that loss is yours, right? So you lose your entire capital because you had kept only 1 by 100 of the 50,000, or you have kept only 500 and your loss is 500. So what it says is P&L is completely yours, and the but you get to take a lot more exposure than the amount of capital you have to put in. When you buy Bitcoin in the spot market, you have to put the entire capital up front, right? So if I want to buy one Bitcoin, the price is 50,000, I'll have to put 50,000, and I get ownership of that Bitcoin. Here, I'm not getting ownership. I'm just getting exposure to Bitcoin price, right? So I'm only getting P&L, and I'm putting price of Bitcoin, or one by 100 of Bitcoin as my collateral, right? And I don't have the ownership, I only have the P&L. So yes, whatever is the change in price on Bitcoin is completely yours. If it is, say, $1,000, then you made $1,000 on your 500 exposure, because that's a 2%. So since you were leveraged 100 times, you've made a 200 times return. Now, this sounds like a very exciting proposition, but it's actually quite risky because markets go up and down. And mind you, that a single touchdown will wipe your entire capital out. So you have to be very careful while using it.
You mentioned Robinhood earlier, and there was a lot of criticism aimed at them, right before they filed for their secret IPO, and also, throughout much of last year. People were arguing that they were giving their users, who may be uninformed, maybe a way to really get in trouble. Do you have any safeguards, or are you doing anything on your platform to ensure that your users also don't end up like the unhappy Robinhood ones, who ended up maybe being either over leveraged or investing through vehicles that they didn't quite understand as they should have?
Yes, we do quite a bit. And we do both on the education side and also on the product side, in terms of, how for example, we don't allow you to take a position beyond a certain limit at 100x, right? Because that's just way too risky. And it's a risk that you not only open to yourself, but also to others in the system. See, if you drive a car very fast, you're putting yourself at a risk, but you're also putting others at a risk, right? You're also putting public property at risk. You're also putting somebody else at risk in the system. It's very similar to that. If you are at 100x, if there's a very sharp move in Bitcoin for $700, you are completely wiped out. Your $500 is gone, but then there's still $200 that needs to be recovered, right? And somebody is in profit who were opposite to you. And note that exchange never actually has a position. The name is exchange, means that it's between two parties, right? It's, yep, it's a place for buyers and sellers to meet. It's not for the exchange to take positions, right? Different parties can be at different leverage, right? So different parties can have different collateral. If you are at 100x, market goes down, say 700 points, Bitcoin is at 50,000, you had kept 500, there's $200 that still needs to be recovered from somewhere. That will end up coming from an insurance fund that the platform has. It's not a good experience because there's only a limited size of those funds. So like I said, driving the car very fast is putting yourself at risk, the system at risk, and others at risk. So what does the system do? It doesn't allow you to take a bigger position at 100x because only a limited amount of risk you can take. Plus, as your exposure increases, it will ask you to, if you want to take a bigger position, the maximum allowed leverage will keep going down. So once your position starts to touch, say, 10 Bitcoin, the maximum allowed leverage will reduce drastically. It will come to somewhere like 15-20%, where you have to, keep a significant portion as margin to protect yourself. Once you start to touch the million handle, it will come even lower. So we put position limits on how much position you can take at 100x. We put, any leverage, because 100 is as dangerous as 75.
Mm-hmm. So have you had instances where folks who, well, of course, first off, like you said, most folks who are doing these kinds of more risky trades, so many of them know what they're doing, but most all of them know what they're doing. But have you had instances where individuals haven't been educated enough in the risks involved in some of these really leveraged products?
So most people who come to these markets, so we have a test net. We give people enough information. We, you know, ask them to educate themselves by trading, you know, on our test net platform with dummy capital, so that, you know, try this 100x out a few times and then you'll learn. Right?
Good. Yeah. That's so responsible. That's the responsible move.
We put out user guides. If there's a question, if there's a customer who comes to us and they ask questions that we don't, you know, you can sense that, okay, this person doesn't know, something is off here. They're probably not sure about derivatives. So we tell them that, look, you should read a user guide. Only when you're comfortable, come back. This is a risky business. It's not like you purchased something, it didn't go up, it came down, but you still hold the asset. You can end up losing all your capital. So go try things on testnet. And we do a bunch of these features along the platform as well. So we give tooltips and warnings. Even if you put a bigger order, right? You might be really professional and you're putting a bigger order. We will give you a warning that this is a very big order. Are you really sure you want to do this, right? When you're taking leverage, the system will start to give you a warning. It will not allow you to go beyond a certain point. It will start to ask you to trim your positions beyond a certain point.
So, it sounds like consumer education is really fundamental to the growth of the business, right? Because without that, you know, you have a lot of people, you know, driving blind, right?
So I think once people who start to trade derivatives, they start to understand, and one derivative market is not very different from another. So people who start, there's an induction phase, and then those who are traders, they come, they understand, and they know how these products are traded. But there's a lot of nuance in these trades, right? There's a lot of nuance in these products. So you have to understand. And if you think about it, even in trading of crypto assets, there's quite a few details, right? So if you're just buying Bitcoin, you can do that through an app. They show you a single price and that's it, right? But if you're trading Bitcoin in and out many times, you will want to learn about limit orders. You will want to learn about stop orders. You'll have to learn about good tell cancel orders. You want to learn about what kind of slippage you can get on a market order. You want to learn about how to place bracket orders to, you know, open and close at different times. So trading is a more engaged activity than just purchasing something and sitting on it. That's more like investing. And those who are traders spend a lot of time understanding this, you know, how trading works. And there's more nuance in derivatives trading than in spot trading. So yes, education is important. It's actually one area where we focus quite a bit.
Oh, I love the focus on education and on creating safeguards for your users. So good on you for that. And actually, that's a really good place to end it. That is Pankaj Balani, the CEO of Delta Exchange. If you want to check him out, they're at delta.exchange. Thanks, Pankaj.
It's great to be here, guys. And yeah, fun talking to you. So looking forward to this and looking forward to, you know, to checking out the video and the podcast.
Alrighty, thanks again. We'll come back with you next week with more FinTech news. Thanks for listening.